In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Once again, in the brilliant light of the resurrection of our Lord, our minds have been opened and enlightened to a deeper understanding of the Scriptures. We're still thinking about that night before our Lord's death. Remember how before that Passover meal, our Lord put a towel around his waist and got some water and knelt before each one of us and washed our feet? Peter objected. He didn't think it was appropriate at all for our Lord to stoop to do such a menial, slavish task. When he was done, however, remember what Jesus said? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And then he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. The new commandment. You have the Latin in front of you, mandatum novum. It's where we get the anglicized word maundy, as we call that holy day, Maundy Thursday. The new commandment, that you love one another, but wait. What makes that commandment so new? Didn't we already hear that all the way back through Moses? You shall love the Lord your God with all your soul and with all your heart and with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, what's new is the deeper understanding of what love really is all about. What is love? Go out there and ask people generally, what is love? What do you think they'd say? How many songs have been written about love? The Beatles song comes to my mind. Of course, especially more in our day when most of the world, most in the world mention love, they almost instantly think of sexual acts, as in the phrase, burning with love. A lot of the time people mention love to mean simply being nice to each other, meaning pleasant, agreeable, pleasant or kind. By the way, that word nice comes originally as a word meaning foolish, stupid. The Latin nescius, meaning ignorant. So I'm not sure that's such a compliment. In other words, love may mean nothing more than ignoring someone's knowledge or need. It's too bad we only have one word for love in English that is capable of meaning so many different things. Thanks be to God, however, that the New Testament was written as that newer universal language called Koine Greek was known all over the place. For there we have four different words covering four different meanings of love. Now, only three are found in the Bible. The fourth means simply something like your fishing or bowling or golf buddies. The world around us, and especially those graphic commercials concerning the condition ED, look it up if you don't know, are concerned primarily with the number three love in Greek. Eros, as in erotica. In today's text, however, Jesus uses both the first and second words for love. You've heard them both. The highest divine love is agape, the love of intelligence and corresponding purpose. The second is phileo, as in Philadelphia, which means the city of brotherly love. Well, Jesus begins by saying, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And what does that mean? The Father has loved his Son in two ways. One is that ineffable love within the Trinity, and he cannot love you in that same way. But the Father has also loved the Son because of the work and mission of salvation. Jesus talks about following the Father's commandments, and we'll sing about that today into the hymn of the day. It's the way Jesus says he loves his disciples, always because of the work and mission he has given us to do. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. What commandments? Well, as I said, the hymn of the day today describes that mission from the Father's sending of the Son into our flesh to slay bitter death and give us eternal life by the shedding of his precious blood, to be raised from death and to ascend to the Father and sending the comfort of the Holy Spirit. This is the kind of love he commands us to have for one another. That is, the divine love that is aware and sees the need in the other person and rushes to do something to meet that need, to be of help and healing. But what do we see in the world, and even in the outward church quite often, and even within ourselves? How often are we less like the priest in the parable of the Good Samaritan, and even though confronted with the need of one in trouble, pass by on the other side of the road like that priest and Levite? Or how often have you thrown in the towel or given up on someone, even in the family, refusing to help even a little? When an otherwise despised Samaritan came along, he helped the man in need. And when asked which of these three, the priest, the Levite, or that Samaritan, proved to be the neighbor, they had to agree it was the one who did not neglect but showed mercy. Do likewise. Loving one another means to be aware of the neighbor's need and to show mercy. Then Jesus uses the other Greek word for love when he says, greater love has no one than this, that one lays down his life for his friends, his phileo. You are my friends. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Though we can and should still think of ourselves as the Apostle Paul says, slaves or servants of Jesus Christ, out of his love for us, he has raised us up to be his friends, his brothers. As St. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he had loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. This is how God loves you. As he says, the love of intelligence and corresponding purpose. This is how we are commanded to love one another, by being aware of our neighbor's need, doing whatever we can to help him meet that need. In marriage, interestingly enough, the world has that upside down too. In marriage, it's not your love that sustains the marriage. We don't fall in and out of marriage. It's the marriage that sustains the love. That is, we are freed to learn love. Finally, as we remember that night Jesus gave us the new commandment, we also discovered the next day that it is the cross of Christ that is the true symbol of that love. And we are bidden also to take up our cross and follow him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.